Much like the movies and books of today, the scriptures, as we're aware, are full of surprising heroes. I mean, just think of David, right? He defeats the giant Goliath with a sling. You can think of Moses, right? Moses is an outcast who even has a speech impediment. Yet Moses led the Hebrew people out of Egypt into freedom. And today, we celebrate the greatest created hero in the scriptures, Our Lady. Yet her victory was not seen on a physical battlefield or even against a visible foe. Instead, her victory lay principally in her daily yes to God. So today we celebrate the glorious feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven. This dogma of the Assumption teaches that when Our Lady was at the end of her earthly life, she was taken body and soul into heaven. And this is different from what will happen when we ourselves die. We human beings are body-soul composites, right? And we have both a body and a soul. The soul animates our body, right? It gives life to it. I mean, for analogy, I guess, think of a balloon. Without the air inside of it, it is deflated and limp. Without the soul, our bodies lie dead. Right? That's why when we see a deceased body at the funeral home, we know that person is no longer truly fully there. Right? Just his or her body. When we die, our souls will leave our bodies temporarily, and our bodies will decay here on earth, right? Yet this did not happen to Mary. So why was Mary taken into heaven, body and soul, at one time? Well, Mary, is called the Immaculate Conception because she was conceived without the stain of original sin on her soul. To put it very simply, she was not born with a ruptured relationship with God, unlike all of us, which we inherited from our first parents, Adam and Eve, when they first sinned. Because of this unruptured relationship, Our Lady never had an inclination to sin, and so consequently, never sinned. Therefore, it is fitting that as the Mother of God who bore the Christ in her womb, she should be taken body and soul into heaven at the end of her life, and not suffer bodily decay like the rest of us. Why? Because death, and consequently bodily decay, is a result of sin. Now, for us, on the other hand, our souls will be reunited with our bodies at the end of time, though at that time, our bodies will then be glorified. Now, the earliest writings on the Assumption that we have do claim, actually, that Mary still died before being assumed into heaven. In fact, the earliest one describes her being surrounded by the remaining apostles on her deathbed in Jerusalem. All except, of course, for St. Thomas. He is never where he should be at the right time. Now, this account says that when he heard of her death, Thomas rushed to come venerate her body. But when he went to the tomb, her body was gone. Instead, the tomb had a sweet odor and was filled only with flowers. Now, why would she die if she had not sinned? She didn't deserve it after all. Well, even though she never sinned, nor had that original sin on her soul, it's still the traditional belief that she died because her own son had chosen to undergo death, even though he was without sin as well. She wanted to be like him in all things. Yet, our Lord nonetheless would not let her body undergo bodily decay. He rewarded her because of her beautiful witness and devotion to God in this life by assuming her body into heaven. It was fitting that the Mother of God be immediately reunited body and soul with her resurrected Son in heaven. After all, how could he, who loved his mother so much on earth, be separated from her at death. Now, we're talking about what happened to Mary at the end of her life, but the assumption must also be understood in the context of her entire life. Mary suffered greatly in this life. She did not exactly have the kind of life we'd suppose the Mother of God should have. I mean, shouldn't it have made sense that God Almighty would have protected her from all harm? That he would have given her a serene life on this earth, filled with peace and prayer? And after all, she was his earthly mother. But her life was not that way. She conceived at a young age and was subject to ridicule from her family and her neighbors. Saint Joseph was seemingly poor, right? They must have lived hand to mouth. They did not have financial security. Joseph would die early, leaving her a young widow. And then her son left home for his public ministry. He spent more time with his disciples and friends than he did with her. And he never truly returned home to stay. Then she experienced every mother's worst fear of watching her child die before her. After Christ's resurrection and ascension, she'd leave her native town and home. I could keep going, but we can see from this brief synopsis that Our Lady's life was not easy. It was actually very hard. Even though she was the sinless Mother of God, she did not receive a free pass to heaven. She still had to suffer. Yet Our Lady was a woman of great faith. She knew that the divine plan was not without purpose. She knew God would be faithful, leaving her grace to endure each new trial that would come upon her, and that he would reward her for her fidelity to him. Her words that we just heard in the gospel are words that she must have repeated frequently in her life. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. Mary took upon herself the welfare of the nation by raising Christ. Mary, you could say, was willing to stand in the breach in a critical time in human history. Though she might have preferred a more prayerful and quieter life, she made herself the handmaid of the Lord, and God used her to save his people through her anguish. Now today, the devil is drunk on the disorder of the world. Right? He has laid siege not only to the world around us, but to the church as well. And he expects victory through those who war with him. Yet again, as he has done so countless of times, he underestimates his opponent. The devil will not have victory, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Yet there is a crucial piece to this. God allows us to participate in his plan of defeating the devil. Each of us must do our part in this battle. We must bear our cross and follow Christ, just as Mary did. We cannot waste time complaining on how much we suffer in our lives and how bad our age is. Those things are true, but it doesn't help anything to worry or fear or even complain. In the case of Our Lady, the Lord defeated Satan by the work of one woman who was open to doing his will with courage and long-suffering. I dare say Our Lady did not think too much on how to defeat the devil during her earthly life. I mean, that was too big of a task. It was out of her hands. So she left it simply to God. She simply did what she needed to do, day in and day out. And she must have believed he would use her fidelity to bring about the victory. Now for us here, Some of us may be called to be on those front lines in the battle against evil. God may raise us up to important, distinguished roles in the church or in the world. Our decisions in this life may have major consequences for politics or the nation or the church. Yet that being said, I think most of us, the majority of Christians, in fact, are like Our Lady. The Lord does not expect us to come up with a grand plan to defeat evil or to put us on the visible battlefront. Instead, He just asks us to be faithful. He asks us to put away our worldly fear and to march forward toward heaven, taking one day at a time, striving for daily fidelity to Christ, our daily yes to Him. You know, we can get caught up in so many things in this life and be tempted to despair because of our suffering, tempted to not strive to be faithful each day, tempted to give up on daily prayer or the sacraments, tempted to not renew our faith. But Mary needs to be our example. She was a hero on this earth, but not by the standards we may think. She wasn't like David or Moses in that regard. Mary suffered greatly in this life, yet she had a surpassing faith. She did not give up. She bore her cross patiently and faithfully. Her heroism was her fidelity. At the end of her earthly life, God rewarded her fidelity through her assumption. She did not undergo bodily decay, but was assumed into heaven to be with her Son. Her suffering was now over. We here today will have to suffer bodily decay because of our original sin. But if we are faithful now, day in and day out, particularly in the small things, God will nevertheless reward us. He loves us. He knows what we are capable of. If we are faithful now, faithful to His commandments, faithful to prayer, faithful to the sacraments, faithful to our families, we truly believe that one day, when our earthly lives come to an end, He will bring us into those halls of heaven where Our Lady awaits us in joy, where there will be no more tears or suffering. We pray on that day, when we finally meet Christ face to face, He'll look at us and say, "Ah, yes, I've heard my mother speak of you."